then another thing, you know, and we were talking about this a bit at the very beginning when we were talking about the eight principal passions, but we exercise the virtue that's the opposite of the passions that are afflicting us. And so after going through, you know, the eight ruling passions, we also just talked about this other scheme where fasting, prayer, and almsgiving are things that we do to help the different powers of the soul become sane. And so one thing, this not exactly that, but Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, so if I pray without ceasing, I am, you know, getting my nous more and more clear, more and more aligned with Christ and following him and seeing him more clearly. If I'm rejoicing always and in everything giving thanks, you know, I can see where those things are going to help me get my anger in line, because if I'm giving thanks, it's going to be hard to be angry in a bad way. And if I'm rejoicing over the right things, then my desire is getting stronger. And then we also need to make sure we're looking in the right direction. You know, if I'm trying to follow Christ, I got to make sure that's Christ that I'm following. And so we have to be thinking in the right way about the right things. And so in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the point of meditating on those things is that they lead me to God, that all those together lead me to him. Otherwise, that looks good, that looks pure, that, you know, and I'm actually looking the wrong direction and my desire is taking me away from the road. So if I'm looking in the right direction, then I'm with Paul in Philippians 1:21, where he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. And then our guiding principle should be love of God and neighbor. And then there's, you know, that beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians 13. I'll start in verse 4 and finish with verse 8. Which should sound familiar. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So that's a nice little, you know, litmus test. You know, how I'm doing. Am I suffering long? Am I kind? Am I envious? Am I prating myself? Am I puffed up? You know, and if I am, I don't have to throw my hands up and say, well, there's no hope for me. I go to confession. And, you know, I keep following after Christ the best I can. And as I do, you know, my eyes will become a bit clearer. And just keep taking the next step on that road. So I wanted to finish then with the two things that Mother Victoria used to say, that Father Dimitri always used to say, and he didn't invent these, but they're the two things that a monk should always do, which is to never do your own will and always take the blame. And first of all, you can't start that today, you know, having always done my own will and never taken the blame. I can't start today never doing my own will and always taking the blame, but I can work in that direction. But, you know, if you look at those in terms of the powers of the soul, if I'm not doing my will, I'm healing my desiring power. And this is something the fathers talk about a lot. It's like, if I never do my own will, whatever happens is my will. Because God is good, and if he allowed it to happen, he allowed it for good. And therefore, you know, I can rejoice in whatever happens. If I'm always taking the blame, that's going to heal my insensitive power. Because how can I be inappropriately angry with you if I really know that I'm the chief of sinners? Now, the thing about this, though, is when we're told to do this, we're assuming that the noose is also being cleaned. Because otherwise, you know, if my noose is still all about me, then if I'm trying never to do my own will and always take the blame, you know, my horses are going to be in revolt. it's like I'm torturing my horses. They don't know that I'm trying to do them good. They just think that I'm trying to cause them harm. And so for this to work, the noose has to be clear enough to know that God loves us and that, you know, we need to curb our desires and curb our anger so that we can go in the direction that we are meant to. I know I was mentioning this the last time I was trying to give this talk. It's like those of you who are old enough to remember when Secretariat won the Triple Crown, and it was the Belmont, you know, which is the last leg of the Triple Crown. He won by something like 30 lengths. And to just see that horse running was one of the most beautiful things, you know, because he was running because he loved to run. You know, and I'm sure that was difficult. You know, I'm sure it wasn't like just a walk in the park. I mean, because he was breaking records and he was going faster and faster every you know, furlong or whatever it was. You know, and so in the same way, if our noose and our angering power and desiring power are all in the right place, then they're working together with joy. And it may be difficult, but there's a joy in running towards God with everything that is in you. But let me also go back and talk about the fact that I can't go from always doing my own will to never doing my own will in one step. And many of us are sitting there thinking, you know what, I never do my own will. I'm always doing what this person asked me or what that person asked me, but I never do what I want to do. Well, you know what? I'm always doing what I want to do. I'm not doing what I want to do with every possible choice in front of me. But, you know, if you come here and you put a gun to my head and say, you know, deny Christ or I'm going to kill you, you know, I do have a choice. And it's at some level, yes, I really do want to die for Christ. And maybe I'm like Peter and I'm just not, you know, able to do it yet. But at some level, I am doing what I've chosen. If I'm just choosing between the lesser of two evils, nevertheless, I'm always doing what I've chosen to do. So if I'm never doing my will, but it's not bringing me joy, and peace and patience and self-control, it's because at some level, it's me I'm still looking after. Whether it's because I just don't want to fight you, whether it's because I want you to think I'm a much better person than I really am, nevertheless, I am doing what I've chosen to do. So how do I go from always doing my own will to never doing my own will? Because there's a couple of things we can do to start. One is to cut off my will in little things. In Tito Colliander's The Way of the Ascetics, he talks about, you know, like if you want to look at your watch, don't look at your watch. If you want to do this, don't do that, don't do it. If you want to have two cups of coffee, have only one cup. which I think means that coffee is essential, because he doesn't say if you want to have coffee, don't have any. He just says have half of it. So it's perfectly okay to, you know, everyone has to have coffee. You're supposed to laugh at that. I don't think everyone's supposed to have coffee. But anyway, but you know, as dumb as that sounds, if you're a clock watcher like me, you know, if you start trying not to watch your watch or your clock or whatever it is, what that will do for you is make you realize how you're always, you know, just giving in to your impulses. So you take a few things, you know, it's like, okay, when I have this impulse, I'm not going to do it. And that's going to help you be aware that, you know, we really spend our lives being led by the nose with our anger and our desire, and we don't even know it. And so that will help us see it. And then another thing that I think is a good way to start with not doing our own will, we all have something we do that drives everyone around us crazy. And we do it anyway. And we know it drives them crazy. And we give ourselves every imaginable reason why it's perfectly okay for me to do it and drive them crazy. Well, maybe we can just decide to stop doing it. And then we're probably going to have to go to confession with what everything that goes on inside us when we stop that. But we'll start seeing how our own will, you know, when it's not directed towards God, leads us into some bad places. Okay, and then as far as taking the blame, we all know that we have certain things in our lives we know we're to blame, and we're just too proud to admit it. So, you know, we can start, you know, by going to the people that they know we're to blame, we know we're to blame, and just have the humility to say, you know, yeah, you're right, I'm to blame. And after 20 or 30 years, when we get all those taken care of, you know, we can start looking at the things where everybody we know thinks we're to blame, except for me. You know, my father thinks it, my mother thinks it, my brothers, my sister, my cousins, my coworkers. And if they all think that I'm to blame, there's a very good chance that they're right. And if they're not right and I'm humble enough to accept it, then it's, you know, sort of a do not pass go, collect $200. It's a quick way to humility. But so if we do these things, if knowing the love of God for us, we don't do our own will, and we take the blame, and little by little, our nooses become clearer, our angering power learns to be angry at the right things, and our desiring power learns to desire what is good, then we can become true Christians, and we become martyrs, whatever that looks like, because we will be witnesses, whether it's just in our daily life or whether it's with our blood, to the one who came and died for us, and that is his glory. So that's my talk. Is there any questions about anything? No? Yes? Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.